national headlines, and the local stories you care about. WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
It is now 8:30. Good Thursday morning. Welcome to the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, also streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And this morning we're on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Hope you tune in to check out our guests this morning. I'm Colin Worthington, and since 2007, the 12 for Life program has provided opportunity, education, and employment for at-risk youth, emphasizing that education opens doors to success. The 12 for Life program combines traditional classroom instruction with jobs inside a modified Southwire manufacturing environment. Students earn wages for their work, and most importantly, they learn skills they'll need after graduation. Again, that program has been going on, 14, 15 years at this point. And, you know, when this got started, I think we all locally made a real big deal about it and try to talk about it as much as we could, because it's a program that's been copied nationwide, statewide. And it all started here. We're going to talk all about that. Go back to the beginning. We're going to introduce you to a couple of students who've recently participated in the program and what they missed out on the past year with COVID. They were shut down and missed out on that. But we'll talk about all of that this morning on the Community Voice. Any questions and comments, I do encourage you to post that to the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page. Now, if you can see us on the Facebook page this morning, you'll see sitting to my left, Fumbi Fowaway. Got it. All right, yeah, he's from Villa Rica. And Amanda Ornelas from Heard County. And sitting to my right is Joel Grubbs. He's the principal of the Southwire 12 for Life program, and kind enough to join us on the program this morning. Good to see all you guys. And they're good mugs sitting out in front of them. I'll get to take home a parting gift, a WLBB mug, on this morning's program. Well, Joel, let's go back. For people, you know, I think a lot of us in Carroll County take for granted that everybody knows what 12 for Life is, just because, you know, it really got so much promotion, and we do talk about it a bit. But, you know, in the last 5 years, there are some new people in the neighborhood, people who, you know, maybe didn't have kids at that point and didn't pay as much attention to it, but now they have kids and they'll pay more attention to talking about it. So take us back. I guess we're going back to 2007, 2006 when the idea for this was brought up.
Back in 2006, I would probably say maybe even late 2005, Southwire, when, you know, they would try to hire people for their factories, the you know, out of 10 applicants, only six of them would have their high school diploma, and so that was a requirement that they had for their employees. And so they were talking to, you know, the county school system. Well, back, you know, 07 06, our graduation rate was about 65%, and so they said, hey, what can we do? And so Southwire purchased a 100,000 square foot building over on Old Bremen Road, 390 Old Bremen Road, basically gutted it, and then put in the real assembly part in one side of the factory, and then put, I think, like seven machines on the other side. And then there were two county teachers that were there. One would like be there part of the morning and then the evening. 70 students to start with, and I think they had one product that they were doing. And then you fast forward that to 14 years later, we're doing over 300 products when we're in the building. You know, we had 213 students in the program when we went out in March of last year. And currently I looked at the numbers. We're right at 3,600 graduates, students that have graduated that participated in the program. Mm-hmm. And and as a district now, our graduation rate is it's been in the 90s for the past 4 years. Mm-hmm. So 12 for Life, Southwire, Carroll County Schools, come together, and it's really had an impact on that graduation rate. And in the process, you know, Heard County came on, Harrelson County came on, Carrollton City joined us last year. Their first year was the year COVID hit. And then Bremen City has recently joined. They were added in February of last year, so they haven't had the opportunity to participate. So, you know, not only Carroll County sees the value of it, but the other school districts have been willing to participate in it, and they've seen some good results with their students, too.
How about you, Joel? You have an education background. Is it? I wonder if you participate in the mechanical portion of the 12 for Life program, or if you're in the classroom, or?
I started my teaching career at Central High School. And was there for 13 years. Prior to that, I was a youth pastor, so I've been involved with young people, and so when they started teaching summer school at 12 for Life, you know, I found out, and so I got connected back in 08, 09 with 12 for Life, and so I started teaching over there, and then it was just a progress because I saw, you know, the impact that the program had on students and the particular student that I personally wanted to focus on. And so I saw that, and that's where I wanted to go. And so I pursued, it's kind of like it was an instructional facilitator's position back in 2015, and I came on full time. And then in 18, that's when I took the director's spot. Dr. Wright, who is at the principal at CCA South, he was there. And so when he left, I took the spot there, and I absolutely love the program.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the Southwire 12 for Life program on this morning's Community Voice program. How are the students sought out, and how are they let know that there is this program available to them?
Well, what we have is we basically just have a one-page application, and the high school counselors, there's a work-based learning coordinator at Harrelson County, Ed Saxon, then John Wall out at Heard. He's the principal out there. He's kind of, they're their contact person. You know, we have each one at each school, and they basically look at the students' transcripts. They look at their records. They see where they're at. And we're looking for a student that may have attendance issues, credit deficient. That means they may have failed a class, if they have extenuating circumstances. And then along with the application, there's a rubric or a guide for the counselor, and then they rate them. And then what we do, if Southwire, let's say they need, when we start back up this fall, which I'm sure we'll talk about that, but when we start back up, we need 100 students. So what we'll do is we'll probably get about 150 applications. We'll take that rubric or that guide, we'll rank them in order. The students that are most needing and down the line, and then we'll pick the most needy students, and they'll get the offer to be in the program. And the term we use is at risk. I know that's a term. I don't necessarily like that because I personally
When I say it, I do wonder. I mean, I do wonder what it does represent. I mean, completely. But how the students feel about it.
But I mean, I've raised teenagers. I've been in education, and I think every teenager is at risk in some area, you know, but some more than others, some a lot more than others. And that's really what 12 for Life wants to give opportunities to those students who don't have them.
Well, I definitely want to give our students here today an opportunity to talk. But let me ask you one more question before we go to the break and bring them on. When COVID did hit, when the pandemic did hit, I guess the class was just, you know, riding right along, and then you hit that, and you guys had to shut down just like the schools did for a little bit anyway. But you guys didn't return at all.
That's right. It was the 12th of March. We had a teacher planning day on the 13th. It was a Friday, but, you know, we ended that week. And basically everybody thought, you know, that it was going to be a 2-week shutdown and then we're going to come back. And what was really neat is it shows Southwire's commitment to the students. They actually paid 213 students, you know, their full pay for 2 weeks, even though they didn't work. And, but then after the 2 weeks, you know, it was obvious that, you know, it was going to be, you know, for the year. But Southwire stepped up. They helped through the CARES Act, helped some of our students to be able to get unemployment benefits, which they would not have been able to do. And then as it progressed, you know, we didn't go back in the fall. Well, around November, Southwire stepped up. They had gender-specific care packages, had a $50 Kroger card, $25 Visa card. It's like a shaving kit for the guys, a makeup bag for the girls, a lot of neat stuff. And so it was 100, they had 171 care packages, and then we distributed them around Christmas time. And then we didn't go back this past spring, but then we teamed up with West Georgia Technical College. Miss Clanton, Cindy Clanton, who's the director of CTE program in Carroll County, her and my professional skills teacher, Denise Fowler, we all got together with Linda Sullivan at West Georgia Technical College, and then Southwire said, look, what can we do? Since the students are not going to be on the floor this past spring, what can we do to help them continue their manufacturing? So West Georgia Tech had adult training, and one was Tooling U, the other was OSHA 10, and then forklift training. And so we had 37 students that participated in those, and these classes carried adult certification. And Southwire sponsored those students at West Georgia Tech for $750 per student. So, you know, Southwire is wanting us back in the building. We've agreed, unless the pandemic, and I hope it doesn't take a turn for the worse, but if it's like it is now, we will be going back in August. But through the whole thing, Southwire has really been faithful to the students and taking care of them.
Yeah, that sounds good. The students who may have been seniors when the pandemic hit and then who would have been able to participate the program last year, did they go back into school and do regular schooling, a majority of them?
Basically, the 2020 graduates did online classes because we were not face-to-face. And they finished up, but what we did is we had a and I don't want to say a drive-by graduation. We had a drive-through graduation in the parking lot of 12 for Life. We had pop-ups and tents, and they would come by, and then, you know, they Southwire gives them a bonus check for graduation, several things, that t-shirts, and then all their awards. So we had the mask on and we run them through, and it was a neat thing, but it wasn't like the regular graduation. This year, even though we were not in the facility, we had 58 graduates participate in our awards. I think it's a couple of weeks ago, and had the opportunity to have them go across the stage and recognize them for the West Georgia Tech adult certifications, and had the opportunity through College and Career South to finish their manufacturing pathway. So we actually had a face-to-face award ceremony. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the leadership of Scott Coward, our superintendent, the school board. They've been very supportive through this, and again, Southwire, to make that happen.
Yeah, everybody's proud of it, and for good reason. Definitely going to take a break after this question, but if somebody wanted to emulate the program locally, I mean, do they have to be a significant size business? I mean, if somebody's just listening this morning and, you know, an auto dealership or something like that, and wanted to just be able to help a kid out, I mean, do they need to be a big business, or if, you know, maybe five people working there and just want to help out a student?
You know, that's a great question, and we when we are in the facility, we give tours and we'll take businesses through, and then it's like they're overwhelmed. They're like, how can we start something like this? And our advice to them is start with one student. Pick one student, and if that's all you can do, that's one student that you know you can affect a change in their life. And I would encourage anybody out there. We have a great work-based learning program in Carroll County Schools. Many businesses participate through that program, and if they're interested, you know, you can contact me at the College and Career Academy or whatever, and we can get you hooked up to take on that one student for sure.
Very nice. All right, time right now is 8:44. We'll take our first break and bring in these patient students who have listened to us talk for 15 minutes already. We're going to make sure we bring them on the show here when we come back from our first break. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy, on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
At Oak Mountain Academy, our academic excellence shines through innovation and a personalized educational experience. Our pre-K 3 through 12th grade environment offers a family-oriented atmosphere. We are an independent school with faith-based values and an academy honor code. Our academic standards prepare our students for college and beyond. I'm Patrick Duran, headmaster, inviting you to visit us on the mountain or at oakmountain.us. Come see how our warriors are creating legacies.
.845 Welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. I'm your host this morning, Colin Worthington. We're speaking with people participating in the 12 for Life program locally. Sitting to my right, if you can see us on the News Talk 1330 WLBB Facebook page, is Joel Grubbs. He is the principal. In the middle here is Amanda Ornelas. She's from Heard County Schools. And Fumbi Foaway from Villa Rica.
Fumbi. That's right.
Oh, yeah. I knew it. I started out doing great with it, and I figure I'll forget it by the time we end the program. But it's great to have you guys in particular to come out to talk about your participation in this program. Let's start off with Fumbi, since you're sitting here at my left, and and I don't think you're going to be shy about talking with things. Can you describe, I mean, your situation when you found out you had the opportunity? Had you heard about this program? I mean, you know, it's been around since 2007, 2008. So had you heard about it at all?
And I want to say thank you for having us here. It's a great experience and a great opportunity. But how I found out about 12 for Life was actually through a couple of my classmates who were already in the program and had applied a couple months before I had. And day in and day out, I'd hear them talk about it and how work was and like how the experience was at 12 for Life. And I was a bit curious with how everything was, because I think this was junior year. So we all pretty much had no work experience, but the way these guys were making it sounded pretty great. And I had been in a couple of different programs throughout my entire life. Like, I've been in Boy Scouts, and I've been in my school soccer team and other different clubs and programs of sorts. But this one really got me reeled in because my best friend was working there at the time, Trey Mason. So he was working there, and I heard about it, and I got into it mainly because I saw it was a job, but later on, that changed drastically due to COVID and a whole lot of other things, but it became more than a job to me. It was an experience I'll forever be grateful for, to be honest. So that's what got me reeled in, was my best friend. And when I started working there in January, it did start off as a job and enjoyed every bit of it, but COVID came and hit, but that's what sent us off.
But what attracted you most, was it the possibility to make some money, or did you feel like you needed some structure in life? That came later on.
It definitely builds character. Mm-hmm. It for sure built character, but what drug me in and got me reeled in the first place was a source of income.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think there's anything wrong with admitting that. You graduated high school now?
Yeah, I'm graduated.
And what's the plan?
The plan from here is to go ahead and enjoy this summer, first of all, and then we're going to hop into college in August of 2021. We're going to go ahead and start off at West Georgia Tech and do 2 years to complete my prerequisite courses over there in engineering technologies. And then from there, we're going to go ahead and transfer to Kennesaw State University. And then we're going to move on to finishing my pathway in electrical engineering.
Well, you've got it laid out. The work that you did at 12 for Life, did you ever see yourself being interested in that kind of production?
It certainly got my head thinking.
But before you knew about it, you were able to do this. I mean, did you want to be a fireman and something else, and then you realize you had this opportunity, and then?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So originally, in like 9th through 10th grade, I wanted to do something in psychology. Wow. So this psychological field. And then from 12 for Life and working in the manufacturing realm, it also got my head spinning and thinking. So it changed. And later on, when we got into the CCA program over there, that really opened doors for me in a whole bunch of different careers, because we had the IEC technical program come in to speak with us, and they also played an influence. So 12 for Life, along with some other companies who came in to speak.
So you've enjoyed the experience and you think it's okay and you're glad you did it overall, right?
Oh, for sure. 100%. No regrets.
Good deal. All right. Our other student here, she is from the Heard County school system, Amanda Ornelas, and kind enough to join us this morning. All right, Amanda, how did you get, how was this program brought to your attention? How did you find out about it?
I found out by my school principal. He actually was talking to my auntie, because my auntie knew I was looking for a job, and she knew that it was going to be hard for me to get a job after school, because there's a lot of places that don't hardly hire kids after school. So she talked to my principal at Heard County, and that's how I found out about 12 for Life. And when I did find out about 12 for Life, I found very interesting. I was like, okay, well, it'll work out a lot with my schedule here and help me out. So, and when I did start working with Southwire, I didn't think I was gonna work in a warehouse, cause I'm not the type that really likes to get my hands dirty, but it really did help me out a lot and bring me a lot of experience and a lot of help with my situation.
Are you gonna be a senior in the fall then?
I'll be a senior this coming year.
Yeah, this coming year. And you did mention that's probably not something you would have got into, but what is your daily experience like? Have you been able to participate yet, actually? Have you been able to do anything, I guess, based on COVID?
No, I have not actually went back to the warehouse or been there, but I have been with the CCA this past year and been doing the OSHA forklifting, tooling you. I've been able to do all that with 12 for Life.
So you're going to have as much experience and knowledge as somebody who Southwire might just hire, you know, graduated college or anything at that point. Well, what are your plans? What do you hope to do, you know, now that you have this and you're going to have this experience for the coming year? What do you hope to do with that?
Well, my coming up year, I'll be in college at the West Shore Tech in Noonan doing dental assisting. And after that, I'm pursuing on to dental hygienist and to come more into that. I'm really not type of person that works in a warehouse, so I figured, okay, dental assisting in the office doing paperwork and stuff, I could do that. It'll be better for me.
Does 12 for Life offer an education on what these youngins will do with the newfound money they've had? Are there courses on how they should take care of that?
I'll let them speak to that. We do a rotation class. Each student gets one class period a week in financial literacy, scientific research, manufacturing, and professional skills. The scientific research and manufacturing is connected to the work floor. The professional skills and financial literacy is helping the students. The financial literacy is to how to manage that money, and they've both been through that. So I'll let you guys speak to the financial literacy piece.
And I'm not sure if that's a course that's being taught in most regular schools, financial literacy.
It is a state-offered course, but that would be more of a classroom setting. It's so different when the student gets their paycheck and they walk, because I taught financial literacy for 3 years there, and they've got their paycheck and they're going, "Mr. Grubbs, what's this FICA thing on my on my paycheck?" And you get
some
the opportunity, right?
Know.
Right. And it makes it more real. So it's more of a practical type applications, because the students actually have money. But y'all can speak to financial literacy, what you've learned in there.
Educate us. Help
she
us
is
save
an awesome
money.
Teacher, though.
Yeah. Do you have a different perspective of money now that you're working for it, rather than, you know, getting a donation from grandma or mom or dad or something like that? You have a different perspective and respect for it?
Yes. It really, when getting your own money, making your own money, it shows a lot about yourself and you don't have to be asking your parents for money, because a lot of kids like to depend on people, and I'm a very person that really does not like to depend on anybody and like to do things on my own, very stubborn. So when I got the opportunity to start making my own money, I really enjoyed that and loved that, because I was like, well, hey, I'm not going to have to worry about, oh, who's going to pay this for me, or who, when's my phone bill going to be paid, or anything like that, because I would have been able to pay that myself.
We're going to take our final break right now. We'll come back with about 4 minutes and conclude our conversation with these participants of the 12 for Life program. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy, on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.
Health is a journey. It's making better choices, even when it's not easy. It's taking care of yourself and the people you love. At Tanner Health System, we're there for you with every step, with primary care, heart care, cancer care, women's care, orthopedics, surgical services, and so much more. We're dedicated to helping you live and feel your best. So let's get on that journey to health. You've got places to be for many years to come. Find us at Tanner.org.
As a graduate of Oak Mountain Academy, I found that my experience on the mountain prepared me beyond all expectations. As a junior at Auburn University, I approached my studies with great confidence thanks to what I learned at OMA. When I think back on my time on the mountain, I think of my teachers. Their genuine love and concern for me as a student was always evident. And now, as an adult, I still foster those relationships. I'm Carly Robinson, an Oak Mountain Academy alum. Visit oakmountain.us to see how you can offer your child an amazing opportunity to be a warrior.
Hey, 57, welcome back to the WLBB Community Voice here on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3. Got about 2 minutes left in the show, so we're going to ask one more question, but I do want to give a shout-out to some comments here on the Facebook page. Holly Presnell, who never compliments anybody, says, Joel is such a great person, and this is a fabulous program. And Denise Fowler just gave her a shout-out about 5 minutes ago. She says she loves her students, so I appreciate them checking in on the Facebook page. As we do wrap up, we were talking about some of the classes you have to take to prepare you for the real world, the next step. I guess you guys recently took some classes for job interviews and things along those lines. How beneficial was that for you?
Mm-hmm. So we had the financial literacy class, which we just got off about, and then we also had the professional skills class. Both of those classes went hand-in-hand, like they were right after each other. And the financial literacy class was a really good class. That really changes your perspective on how you spend, how you save, and your outlook on the future. And the professional skills class, that one right there was also a great one too, because we followed like Georgia's best standards, I think. And we took courses over like initiative and other different things when it comes to like the workforce, and that really got us it got our brains flowing with how we can better prepare ourselves to be ready to be employed and stand out like as applicants whenever you're coming into a job. So they prepared us with like the mock interviews, and they had us take like real interviews and get real constructive criticism, bring it back to us and see how we can improve. Then we also had a wide variety of different groups and organizations that came in to speak with us, and we spoke with them, and they really showed us the way on how we could get involved with either their group or program or just better ourselves. So I think that was great.
Well, you two are two great representatives of the program, and glad to have you on. I'm glad to talk to you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Our future's in good hands, as we can say.
No problem.
And Joel, thank you for coming on and bringing them on and talking about the program. We could talk for another half hour. I've got 15 other questions, but we'll have to let that go as we've run out of time for this morning's Community Voice program. Tune in tomorrow morning again, 8:30, for another edition of the Community Voice. Have a great Thursday, everybody. Mm-hmm.